Today's scripture text comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 through 20. We'll be reading from the Common English Version of the Bible today. I have the freedom to do anything, but not everything is helpful. I have the freedom to do anything, but I won't be controlled by anything. Food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for food, and yet God will do away with both. The body isn't for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. God has raised the Lord and will raise us through his power. Don't you know that the bodies are parts of Christ? So then, should I take parts of Christ and make them a part of someone who is sleeping around? No way. Don't you know that anyone who is joined with someone who is sleeping around is one body with that person? The scripture says the two will become one flesh. The one who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Avoid sexual immorality. Every sin that a person can do is committed outside the body, except those who engage in sexual immorality commit sins against their own bodies. Or don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Don't you know that you have the Holy Spirit from God and you don't belong to yourselves? You have been bought and paid for, so honor God with your body. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Ray. Valentine's Day is only a couple of weeks away, February 14th, so we thought it might be a good idea to talk about love over the next couple of Sundays. And today we're talking primarily about the marriage relationship, but I think you'll find that these principles can be applied to all our relationships. But today we're focusing primarily on marriage, and I know that we have singles in our midst, we have divorced persons, we have those who have never been married, we have young people, we have older people, we have widows and widowers and everything in between. But I think the message here today is meant for all of us. But we are thinking in terms of marriage and how to make marriage last a lifetime. That's the kind of the theme of where we're going with the next two sermons. The two shall become one flesh. What does that mean? And thinking about marriage and making marriage last a lifetime reminded me of a story of an older couple, been married for probably 50 years plus. They go to bed one night, and she gets in bed, and they both get in bed, pull the covers up. And as they're laying there, the wife says, "You know, honey, there was a day when you used to snuggle up to me." So he goes, "Okay." So he snuggles up to her, right? So after a little while, she says, "You know, there was a time when you used to put your arm around me and hold my hand." Puts his arm around her, holds her hand. She says, "And there was a time when you used to nibble on my ear." So he goes, throws the covers back, makes a deep sigh, and he gets out of bed. She says, "Wait a minute, where are you going? Where are you going?" He says, "I'm going to go get my teeth." Well, we do all kinds of things for one another, don't we? He was just trying to make her happy, right? Trying to make her happy. Today is about what marriage looks like, what marriage should look like, and how marriage can last a lifetime. This week I sent out the email blast questions and the Facebook questions and got probably more responses than any other question that I've asked in the last couple of years. And that question was, what do you think it takes to make a marriage last a lifetime? And some of the same words kept coming up over and over again. Words like trust. That's pretty foundational, isn't it? Trust. Forgiveness. A sense of humor. Commitment. A sense of God's calling. Compromise. Patience. Communications came up a lot. Friendship. Respect. Shared goals and dreams. Perseverance. A short memory. Not taking each other for granted. Remembering wedding vows. Fair fighting. Sense of partnership. Remembering the golden rule. 100% commitment. Listening. Mutual support. Faithfulness. Faith in God and one another. caring, understanding. Someone even remembered rule number 6. Remember rule number 6? Don't take yourself too seriously. A supportive family, self-control, and unconditional love. All very, very good things. And many, if not all of these things, I use in discussing marriage and preparation for marriage when couples come to be married here at Bethel Church. I'd like for you to pull out the yellow and orange piece of paper in your bulletin today. Ran out of yellow paper, so we used orange. What you have in front of you are all the couples with us that have celebrated 25 years or more of marriage. Isn't that incredible? 25, 30, 40, 50, even 60 years of marriage. Take a look at some of those names. Now, there is a disclaimer. We apologize if we've left anybody off. We were just going by the data and the information that we have in our data system. So if we've forgotten somebody, we apologize, or if we have the number of years wrong. But when you add up all those years, you come up with 5,528 years. That goes back to the time of Moses, by the way, if you want to look at it on a historical timeline. 5,528 years of people that worship with us just about every week. Today's text that Ray read for us is Paul's response to the Corinthians letter that he had received and what to do about some problems in the church. And one of them was sexual immorality. And even though it is dealing primarily with those who were sleeping around and those who were unfortunately visiting prostitutes in the local temple worship, Paul had words for them and for us today, which I believe are as apropos for helping to sustain marriage as it is to addressing the issue of sexual immorality. And they can be found in 6 words. 6 words right in the middle of the scriptures today that say, the two shall become one flesh. I want to flesh that out a little bit today and talk about that in the brief time that we have. It's interesting, though, that this phrase is a euphemism for sexual intimacy. But it means so much more. It's more than just the physical coming together of a couple. It is the coming together of two lives. Paul is not original with this because it really comes from Genesis chapter 2, where we find God saying, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. And it's quoted in Mark chapter 10, and it's used in wedding ceremonies quite a bit. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh, so that they are no longer one, no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. But what does this mean? What does this really mean, this two shall become one flesh? Well, I think it begins with knowing who we are. We really need to know who we are. Paul says, don't you know that your bodies are members of Christ? Well, what did he mean by that? That your bodies are members of Christ. We are not just flesh and blood mammals. We are children of the Most High God. We were created in God's image, not the physical image, but with God's nature and potential. And we are the physical presence of Christ in the world, if we are connected to Christ through our baptism, through our profession of faith. If we are Christians, then we are little Christs. We are part of Christ spiritually. Paul says anyone united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. I'd like to think that everyone here today is united with Christ. There may be some that are still seeking. There may be some who are still trying to check this out and figure out what this relationship is all about. But when we are baptized, when we are in relationship with Jesus Christ, we become one with him. And we need to understand that becoming one with him should influence our choices. Our choices should become Christ-like, especially when it comes to sexual intimacy and who we get close to, who we share our very most intimate moments with. We are no longer our own. Paul says, do you do not Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? You were bought with a price. Paul is saying your bodies belong to God. They are temples of the Holy Spirit. Treat them with respect. And don't be joined to anyone or anything that devalues that temple. In Paul's case, he was dealing with prostitution and sleeping around. You are no longer your own. You were bought with a price. Know who you are. Secondly, love can last a lifetime if there is balance and mutuality in a relationship. You've heard the old expression, a marriage is a 50-50 proposition. Think about that. 50-50. Pastor Bill Sammons this week on the Bridge Radio, he has a little marriage, they have a little marriage thing going on right now, and I heard Pastor Bill Sammons say, you know, show me a marriage that's 50-50 arrangement and I'll show you a troubled marriage. Marriage is 100-100. 100-100. If you're only given 50%, you're doomed to failure. Your marriage is doomed to failure. Paul says, now get ready for this. This is in chapter 7. It's not part of today's reading. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Hold on. Hold on. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Mutuality. That's what Paul is talking about, and he mentions that over and over here. We are not about self-satisfaction, but about serving the other. A balanced mutual marriage is based on mutual satisfaction, mutual serving, putting the other's needs ahead of our own. And thirdly, love can last a lifetime if the focus is on giving and not receiving. On giving and not receiving. That's called agape love. Agape, that's a word you don't hear very much outside of church. You know the different forms of love. Filial love, familial love, eros love. But there's a love that is special, that is sacrificing, that is about the other. And it's called agape. It's a Greek term called agape. Paul says the husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise the wife to her husband. Sexual intimacy is so critical and important to a marriage, a healthy marriage. And we're not to deny one another, except for maybe a season, Paul says. But then he says, you're supposed to be in prayer with one another. Take care of one another. Meet the other's needs. Focus on giving the spouse all his or her rights and privileges that go along with marriage. Agape love. You know, I wish the Bible were a little clearer on marriage and how to have a happy and a satisfying marriage. But it's not a marriage manual, unfortunately. It's more a love letter from God. It is God's love letter to us. I wish he made it clearer sometimes about how to have happy marriages. Even that scripture that I'm sure some of you probably had read at your weddings. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, faith, hope, and love abide, but the greatest of these is love. Of course, it's a whole chapter. But he wasn't talking about marriage there. He was not talking about marriage at all. He was talking about the love for one another within the church, the people of God. The Bible is rather a resource guide on agape love, not just for marriage, but for living in the world every day with one another. Agape love is when a husband sacrifices his own desires for his wives, and the wives put his happiness ahead of their own. That is two becoming one flesh. That's agape love. The greatest example we have of agape love is whom? Jesus Christ. Look at what God did for us. Look what Jesus was willing to do for us, to die that we might have eternal life. He is the best example of sacrificial, self-giving love, and invites couples to make him the center of their marriage. Invites them to join him in that journey, lifelong journey of love. Paul says, anyone who unites to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. What does two becoming one flesh look like? Picture a couple, picture yourself standing at the altar in a church to be married. And you hear the words from the preacher, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish until we are parted by death. That's part of what becoming one flesh means. What does agape love look like? Agape love is a picture of a man getting up out of a warm bed to go get his teeth so he can nibble on his wife's ear. Agape love is a husband or a wife caring for a dying spouse, putting aside everything else to make sure that they are cared for, bathing them, feeding them, washing their hair, helping them go to the bathroom if they can even get out of bed, changing an adult diaper, caring for them, doing whatever it takes till death do us part. That's the picture of agape love. That's what becoming one flesh is.